Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've gathered this morning because we know that you exist. We know what you have done in our life. And today we've gathered because we want to share the good news that Jesus is coming soon, that Jesus died for each one of us. And because of him, we have so many things to be thankful for. We ask that your Spirit may come once again upon us. And in a special way, may he use me as I share the good news in the book of Joel. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The book of Joel, a small book, a book that only has 3 chapters. A book that has been difficult for many to interpret. The reason, or one of the reasons, is that we know very little about who Joel was. We know he received the word of God. No photo. I don't have it. We know the name of his father, Pethuel. But that's all we know about him. Nothing more. The Bible does not mention anything about him. Nothing personal, like in some of the other books. I'm going to step up here. We don't even know when he wrote the book. Under what kings? He doesn't mention it, like the other prophets. The one thing we do know is that he was speaking, he was writing for people who lived on Mount Zion. And this we know to be the city of Jerusalem. A city that was on a mountain. A city where David himself said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." Because they literally went up. And God had a very special message which he was about to give through this unknown person for us. A message that would not only be for the people in his time, a message that would also be for us who live in these times. Chapter 1 of the book of Joel. If you have your Bibles, you can open it there. Has an account of something that happened. A historical account. And Joel makes sure that we know about it. Joel chapter 1, verse 2 and on. "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or if even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm has left has the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left has the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left hath the caterpillar eaten." Here, Joel describes a plague of locusts that had just gotten to the region of Judah, to the region of Jerusalem, and had eaten up all that was green and fruitful. These locusts come in millions, and there's nothing you can do about it. They just come and start eating away anything that looks green, orange, yellow, anything that's edible. They start eating away. But if that was little, the younger locusts came right behind, and they also did the same thing. But there was not much left, so they went for the bark now. Let's eat the bark, leaving everything without a bark. And if that was little, the worm came after the young locust, and they ate away whatever was left. A crisis, an economic crisis. No food. Can we relate to something like that today? Some of us can still go to our refrigerator and what? Find food. Amen? But imagine going to Albertsons or Vons, coming inside that store and seeing it empty. There's nothing to be seen. Your heart would drop. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. It dropped. They even mentioned that the animals, the beasts of the field, were crying to the Lord because there was no food. And if that was small, there was a religious, a spiritual crisis going on. The priests were saying, there's not even any meat or wine to sacrifice. God, does that mean we will not be forgiven? No church. Let's close it down. Where do you go in times like these? Where do you turn to? Joel continues saying in chapter 2, verses 1 and on. We will not read it, but you can read it at home. You'll find a description of what was to happen. God was telling Joel, Joel, just like those locusts came and they took everything that is in the land, I will bring an army of people, and they will destroy everything that you see. Joel describes this army as being the army any nation in this world would like to have. Unstoppable. An army that you could not destroy. He describes them as being people who would fall on the sword, and the sword would not do a thing to them. Undestructible. Unstoppable, undestructible. And when they marched in ranks. They flew up the walls into the windows like birds. And the whole earth trembled, quaked in front of it. Everybody shook. I know some of you experienced a couple of weeks ago a 7.2 earthquake here in Southern California. This sounds more like a 10, 12 magnitude earthquake, doesn't it? Everything will be destroyed. Terror, fear, shame. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. But God has a message. A good news message. Amen? Amen. Despite of the things that would happen. In Joel chapter 3, he mentions that a judgment day is coming. And God would gather all the nations. He would gather Judah and Israel. Everybody would come to the Valley of Decision. A valley also named in the book of Joel as the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where Jehovah is judge. Now, I don't know about you, but courtrooms and me, make me a little nervous. Even if I'm not the one being accused. But this time, every person will be there. Fear, shame. Where do those emotions come from? They come from sin. They come from sin. Some of us are scared of heights. Some of us are scared of the darkness. Some of us are scared of water. Some of us are scared to speak in public. Some of us are scared of insects with eight legs. And depending who you are, what age you are, the intensity can be large or small. I love water. My mom, she learned to swim when she was an adult. Going to the beach was joy for me and terror for her. Mom, look, a wave. Jump in. I was 6, 7, 8. My mom's like, come back now. You've got enough. Come back. Same experience, two different feelings. In that day, same experience, two different feelings. Joel chapter 2 is right in the middle of the book. There's only three chapters, right? So chapter 2 is right in the middle. It's the central message of the book of Joel. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Joel chapter 2. And this is the message that God wants to bring to his people. This is a message that he wants to tell those who are in crisis. This is a message that he wants to tell those who feel that the world has defeated them. This is a message that he wants to tell people who do not know where to go. And this is the message. You've heard it before. I've heard it before. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says, therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even where? To me, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. He does not want to destroy. He does not want to punish. Amen? That's God. So where do we go? We turn to him. Joel, his name, means Jehovah is God. He's God. All the others are fake. They can't help you. They cannot do a thing for you. They can't make you grow. God can. God can make you grow. And if that was little, God promises this people that all the destruction they have seen from the locusts, all the destruction that would come from this army, this northern army, that would come and just destroy everything in the land. Verse 21, our scripture reading says, fear not. Amen? Amen. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He will do great things. I don't know what fears you have. I know which ones I have. Don't you want to get rid of those fears? Those troubles, those stresses that keep us up sometimes at night, keeps us from having a good night's rest. Have you noticed that when fear comes into your life, it usually makes you make the wrong decision? Yes? I believe the Bible has an antidote for that fear. Amen? We, God's people, don't have to live in fear. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Amen? Nothing. Nothing to be ashamed of. Why? Joel chapter 2, verse 26 and 27 give us an answer. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. We have nothing to be ashamed of, because the Lord is in the midst of his people. Amen? He's in the middle. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to support us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to help us. He's there to sustain us. He's there with us. Verse 28 and 29, famous passage. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. Amen? God's guiding us. He's sustaining us. He's showing us. He's giving us visions and dreams. And it's not just to pastors, but it's to elders, to young people, to children, to people without debt, and even people with debt. Everybody can be a container for God's Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I believe that we have been called today to share this message of Joel. A message that God will one day bring to end all this we call sin, all this we call rebellion, all this we call iniquity. He will put an end to it. He will bring judgment upon this earth, upon its inhabitants. But his people don't have to be afraid. His people can be assured of their salvation. This passage gives me the chills. It just puts me on cloud nine. Because this passage happened. It happened. It happened in the day of Pentecost with a group of people who were scared. A group of people who had gathered together at a moment of great crisis. Their teacher, their master, Jesus, had been crucified. The whole nation knew about this. And Jesus had also resurrected. Amen? And he had spoken to them and said, I must go. I must go. But I want you to gather together. I want you to pray. I want you to study the word. I want you to come together because I want to pour my spirit upon you. A spirit you will need in order to proclaim the message which God has said so in so many ways and throughout so many times. This message, I want you and you and you and you to say it, to proclaim it. And this group of people, formed of men, women, young and old, they came together, this little place, and the earth shook and trembled, and lights were seen, and people came from all over and said, "What's going on here? What's happening?" And they came out and said, "Nothing, we are full of God's Spirit. The promise of Joel is being fulfilled right now." And people from different countries were listening to the same message. And I asked myself, if I would have been in Jerusalem, where would I have been? In that room, praying, asking for God's Holy Spirit? Or would I have been in the crowd? The people in the crowd saw them and said, some of them said, "These guys are drunk. They don't know what they're talking about. They haven't been to our school." But there were 3,000 of them who believed, who were baptized in one day. Amen? Why? Because they were not afraid. Because they had God's Holy Spirit. "My Spirit I will pour upon all flesh." A spirit that is needed today. A spirit that we need to see in our church. A spirit that we need to see at home. A spirit that we need to see at school. A spirit that we need to see at work. A spirit that dwells upon God's children. Joel chapter 3. Verse 16, toward the end of the chapter, says the following: "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Amen? The Lord is the hope of his people. He is the strength of his children. Ellen G. White, in the book Steps to Christ, says the following: "The Church of Christ is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world, and the obligation rests upon all Christians. Everyone, to the extent of his talent and opportunity, is to fulfill the Savior's commission. The love of Christ revealed to us makes us debtors to all who know him not. God has given us light, not for ourselves alone, but to shed upon them. God might have committed the message of the gospel and all the work of loving ministry to the heavenly angels. He might have employed other means for accomplishing his purpose. But in his infinite love, he chose to make us co-workers with himself, with Christ and the angels, that we might share the blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting which results from this unselfish ministry." Amen? And these days, God has promised that he would pour his Spirit upon all flesh. Are you ready to receive it? Are you really ready to receive it? The former rain, the latter rain. What does the earth need to do in order to receive the rain? What does it need to do? Nothing. Accept it. And usually the latter rain comes after a long, dry summer season. Right before the fruits are about to give their juicy flavor, That's when the latter rain just comes down upon the earth. The earth is ready. It's just waiting for it. It's just waiting to be soaked. Take in those nutrients and give it back in the form of beautiful fruits. Isn't that what God wants to do with his people today? Do you sometimes feel like summer is taking a long, long time? Does it seem sometimes like, whoa, I'm so dry. I'm so thirsty. Talking about water, Mike. I'm so thirsty. When I look, I see myself so dry. And I want to experience that power. Do you want to experience that power? Do you want to live for Jesus? Do you want to share the message of hope that he has given you and given me? I want to proclaim that message. I know God wants us to proclaim that message. Because even today, just like Joel, Yahweh, Jehovah, is still God. And what he has said, he will fulfill. What he has promised, he will do. Amen.